Welcome to Conversations. My name is Amy Adams. I'm the editor of Conscious Life Space and the broadcaster of this podcast. Thank you for joining me today for episode 5. In today's episode, I have a conversation with Tammy Hatherill, and we discuss Reiki, trauma and healing, PTSD, her upcoming book, and the keys to happiness. I hope you'll stay tuned and join us in conversation. Before we get started, I just have one quick announcement. Did you know that Conscious Life Space offers a free course, 7 days towards gratitude? You don't even have to sign up on the mailing list. That's crazy. Everyone makes you sign up on the mailing list, but not for this. It's a free course, free forever, given from me to you from the bottom of my heart. That's my way of expressing my gratitude to you for being here. Now let's get started. And today I have Tammy Hatherill of Darwin, Australia. She is a Reiki master and runs Tammy's Tarot and Healing. She's also the author of 3 books already, and she has an upcoming 4th book, but the 3 books is Trapped Behind Bars and The Diary of a Fallen Angel and Special Moments. Trapped Behind Bars sounds a little odd when you think about a Reiki master and tarot healing, but we're going to dig deep today with Tammy and learn about her path and her journey and how she went from a totally different career and pivoted into Reiki and healing and how this changed her life. So welcome, Tammy. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Amy. It's an absolute honor to be here. So thank you so much.
So do you want to just start with how you, I think maybe what your background is before you went into Reiki a little bit to kind of let people know what you were doing before that?
That's an open can of worms. It's an interesting background. So I actually went from high school into university, and I started and I finished my degree in justice studies at university, and I majored in intelligence and security and investigations and all that analytical, thought-provoking type work where you need a lot of evidence. And then I ended up at 21 years of age, straight out of university, into a maximum security male prison. And so I worked in a maximum security male prison for many years, and also the immigration centres within Australia. And I was witnessing and seeing and being exposed to really horrific scenes that really no young woman should see, or no person actually, regardless of sex or age, should actually be exposed to. And things like deaths in custodies, hangings, self-harms, officer assaults, just really, really horrific sort of stuff. And ultimately, I crashed and burned.
Yeah, well, I could imagine. I mean, anybody to be exposed to one event, but then to multiple events. Now, did you actually, when you were studying this, so did you think, oh, I'm going to graduate and end up here? Or did you think I'm going to maybe work with the police department, or like a totally different direction?
Truly, to be honest with you, I had no idea what I was going to do at the end of my university degree. It was just the fact that I absolutely loved legal stuff at school that mum and dad basically pushed me into doing a degree in justice studies. I actually wanted to do journalism. I really wanted to do journalism, but when you're young, you sort of you get pushed around by your parents, don't you? And you, yep, you trust them and you respect them and, you know, oh, go and do justice study. So I did that without any end goal really in sight. But as as it was coming to an end, there was, I only had about 6 or 8 weeks left of university. The prison officer role came up, or correctional officers is what we call them here. And Mum jokingly said to me, "Oh, look, they're looking for prison officers. Do you want to go and work in the prison system?" And being 21 years old, no life experience, straight out of university, I thought that would be a great way to practice writing my resume and writing my skills and going in for interviews. I never dreamed I was going to get the job.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And yeah. I did.
Oh. Surprise.
Once I got the job, surprise. Once I got the job, I started.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting too, because when we're younger, we really don't know what the work world is going to be like, even in any kind of field. So, I mean, we have these wide open eyes and everything is new, and then to be into this, it's so such an interesting job. Even I always kind of wondered about that, like how would somebody even get into working in a prison system? So then once you crashed and burned, which probably wasn't very fun, how did you end up finding Reiki, or did Reiki find you?
Reiki found me, because once I crashed and burned, I had 12 months off work, not working at all, and then I went into other industries. I was working in employment services, so I was helping those people that couldn't find work get off the welfare system that we have here in Australia. I don't know if the US or other countries or England, I don't know if other countries have a welfare system like we do, but the aim is to get them off welfare and into employment. Mm-hmm. And so I worked in that industry for a few years, but I just couldn't settle. And so I kind of bounced from job to job to job, and I just wasn't settling. I wasn't settling in anywhere. I wasn't grounding anywhere. And I walked into a crystal shop, and I explained all this to the lady that was in the crystal shop. And she just happened, I told her about my love of tarot reading. So I've read the tarot cards since I was 18 years of age. So I always had that sort of interest there. And she said, "Oh, well, here's a Reiki course that's being held next weekend. Why don't you book yourself in?" And I actually missed out on that particular one for some reason. And so I went to another one, same lady that was running it. And the rest is history, as they say. I absolutely loved it. My love for Reiki, my love for energy healing. And I thought, why did I not know about this when I was in the throes of my recovery? Had I known about Reiki, it would have helped my recovery so much better. I would have been much better, much quicker.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I mean, I'm not a Reiki practitioner, although I have an interest in it. I have had Reiki healings, and I really knew about it, but then when I went for a shiatsu massage therapy session, she was also a Reiki master, and she did some Reiki. And I remember at one point, and I said, "Oh, I saw like this purple glowing light," and she was like, "Oh," and she was really positive and upbeat, but she never kind of like pushed it on you or anything. And I don't even think, I mean, she didn't really go in depth about Reiki. She just did it. And then every time that I went back, I just was getting better and better too. I had actually was a different, obviously very different story, never working in the prison system, but I had a kind of life crisis. And during that time I was going for a lot of kind of healings, and the massage was what I initially thought would be good for me, and then found out about the Reiki through that. So
it really is amazing. See, that is Reiki finding you, because they do say that Reiki either finds the Reiki finds the person. It does. It really truly does. And you going in, and it doesn't matter what trauma a person's been through. Yes, mine was the prison system, yours was a life event. It's still, people still have reactions to trauma and things like that. So it doesn't matter what the trauma is, people react to trauma, and then Reiki is really wonderful in healing that, no matter what that trauma is.
Yeah, I do want to look more into that. I think it's a really interesting path. But you also created Reiki healing cards. Now, I know that Reiki has some kinds of symbols and things like that, but yours are a little bit different. So what inspired you to make something a little bit different, and how do you use them?
The Reiki chakra cards came about, I'd been really unwell and really sick, and I just wasn't well, and I was coping with a bit of I don't even know what I was coping with, but I just wasn't well at the time, and I was using self-Reiki to help myself through whatever was going on at the time. And it was during a meditation that I got this inspiration to create cards with Reiki already infused in them, using what we call the non-traditional symbols. Now, the symbols that I use on the cards are those that I was taught by my Reiki master when I went and learned it in level one, but they are non-traditional in that Dr. Uzui, who is the founder of Reiki, didn't channel them. They've actually been channeled by different Reiki masters along the way. So not every Reiki practitioner will ever have seen them before.
Uh-huh. So is Reiki, I know Reiki has some different levels too. So is it's like one and two, and is there a third level also where you become?
Absolutely. And it also depends on what system of Reiki that you're following, because there are, even though energy is energy, there are different systems of Reiki. The system that I went through has the three levels. It has level one, level two, level 3A, and then level 3B.
Uh-huh.
But level 3A and 3B I pretty much teach together. That's becoming a master and then becoming the teacher of the master. There is another strain of Reiki where it has seven levels, but I don't know that one because it's all similar sort of stuff, but they've broken it into seven levels, is my understanding. I don't know how they've broken it into that.
Uh-huh. So do you, it's kind of interesting too, though, that you had tarot as a hobby when you were younger, and then you ended up doing it now where you can actually, you're making a living with this as a thing. I mean, did that even occur to you? It probably didn't even occur to you, right, when you were 18, that's something.
No, it didn't. I often laugh about it because I learned tarot reading when I was 18 or 19, I think it might have been more 19, because I was at uni. I was at uni, and so the reason I actually learned tarot was I had broken up with my first serious boyfriend, so I was going to different tarot readers to hear what I wanted to hear, you know, yes, you're going to get back with him, or yes, he still loves you, and this one lady said, nope, you're not going to get back with him, he's not good for you in the long run. She said, but you really should be learning how to read the tarot cards. You've got this beautiful spiritual nature, and you're going to end up working with spirit and with tarot and this and that. Come and learn. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm going to university. I'm not going to be I'm going to be a high flyer, you know. and so I think back then the course was, you know, probably $100, and it was awesome and it was wonderful and I loved it, and I was apparently good at it from the feedback that I was given right from the word go, and I've always had that interest, but it did get pushed to the side until I went through these massive life events of trauma and living through riots and all the harsh stuff that I lived through, and then learning Reiki, and then I just had the epiphany one day of, why don't I just start my own business, because I was not settling in anything, I couldn't settle in employment, I couldn't stay for longer than 2 years in employment, so I started my own business with tarot and Reiki, and now almost 7 years later I'm making more money than I ever have. Not that that's my focus, but how hilarious that I've got a university degree and my little $100, which cost a fortune, and yet the little $100 course that I did whilst I was at university is actually now what I'm making my income from.
Yeah, That's really great. I mean, it's nice to see too that you, I think some people too, they try a job and if you don't find where you fit, I mean, after 2 years, you probably just get bored. I mean, and it's like, okay, then it's the next thing. And then it's the next thing. And here, now you have something that you're really passionate about and you integrate it into, it's like, I know that you have a life separate from work, but it's just a part of who you are. So I think it's really a gift that you're giving to other people by practicing it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, I absolutely love it as well. And I think that makes a world of difference. I absolutely love helping my clients and seeing the transformation they make through what I do. And you're right, I was getting bored, you know, after 2 years of being in jobs that weren't right for me. That's why I bounced so much, because I just wasn't, I was bored, or I'd have a boss that I didn't respect and I couldn't work for someone I didn't respect and all sorts of things. And so I did bounce around. Whereas now that I'm in control of my own business, I can do tarot, I can do Reiki. Oh, and then I wanted to learn hypnotherapy. So I went out and I learned hypnotherapy. So that was adding into it. Then I learned reflexology. I can't remember which order it went in, but I learned reflexology and then I learned soul realignment. So I just, if I get a little bit stagnant, I go and learn something else. And it's just really nice.
Yeah. And then I also saw that you have a introduction to spiritual development course that you offer. Yes. Also. So yes. Is that for people who really are, do you think that's somebody who would be like the ideal person to take that? Somebody who maybe has just gone through a trauma, or somebody who doesn't know what their path is, or what do you think?
The course is really for anyone, but if we're being specific, it'd be for those that are starting to explore their spirituality, just sort of thinking maybe there's something more out there, or they've had a tarot reading and they were fascinated by it, or they just want to tap into something higher than themselves. So really good for absolute beginners, really, really good for absolute beginners. But a number of people that are quite experienced already have done the course, and they said it was a really good refresher for them because it was another perspective, it was another angle. So it can be a good refresher for those that already have an idea and a connection to spirit. But it's online, so anyone around the globe can actually access it, and it's done at their own pace. So it's affordable as well, which I think is a good thing in this day and age.
I mean, it's important too, because I think some people, they want to do something, they don't know where to turn. You go onto the internet, there's so much information, it becomes overwhelming, and then you hear this and that, and then sometimes you might come across something that doesn't resonate with you, and then you think, what am I doing here? So it's kind of nice to have a place that you could go to and follow like a path and explore some things and take your time with it. I think that
absolutely really- and what you've said there, Amy, really does reflect how I actually teach, because I say to people all the time, if what I'm saying isn't resonating, then, you know, just let it be. Just because I'm saying it, if it's not feeling right to you, you just leave that bit of information and go, nah, that doesn't actually quite fit with me. So it's not like I'm dictating to people in my teachings. I actually always encourage people to follow what feels right for them.
And I also wanted to ask you this. So now the Trapped Behind Bars, that book kind of speaks about your initial experience, right?
Yes.
And then I want to get back to that one. But then the Diary of a Fallen Angel, what does that explore?
So that explores once what happened to me after it was the recovery, I guess. I wasn't recovered. It was still during the recovery of it. So it's still my life, and it's still what happened after the events in the prison system and the immigration centres. It's more sort of what happened afterwards and how I got through it and how it affected family and friends and how I lost friends who didn't understand and just thought I was being mean and nasty, horrible person, not going to visit, and this sort of stuff, because you do isolate. Well, I did. I isolated from the humanness. I because it was so painful, I just kept away from everybody and everything. So I was very cocooned. And so, yeah, I did lose friends who didn't understand the actual pain I was going through. So that book sort of goes into the how I got through. And now the third, when I say the third book, it's the this latest one that's coming out is actually a third in that series. It's basically a combination of the two books. It's a combination of the two books. It's now that I've recovered and it's nearly 20 years later, I've written this third book as a recovered person. And it's completely from a perspective of being healed, being able to talk about it without the pain actually kicking in. And it's actually got each chapter finishes with a counsellor writing what's actually going on psychologically. So it's going to help people. So I might be confusing people by saying the third book. I'm talking about the third book in the series. The book you've mentioned there as my third book being The Special Moments, that is not related to the first two.
Right. That's about memories, yes?
It's a book about Alzheimer's, but it's actually more a diary that I've created and put together for people to write their own memories in.
Ah, right. Okay. I hear that.
Yeah. No, that's all right. It's more like a diary that I've put together. So I'm the creator of it. I call it a book because it is a book, but there's not a lot of my input or writing because it's created for people to write their own memories. Right. Due to my mum going through Alzheimer's, and I'm getting her to write memories so that when she does lose her memory totally or passes on, I've got this book of her memories of me.
I took a course in university that it was mandatory for every student, and it was called the American Experience at the time. And one of the things we had to do was we had to interview two people about their experience, whether they were immigrants or they were born in America, and their kind of perspective about it. And that was really interesting because I interviewed my mother, and I never really thought about interviewing her before.
Yeah.
So I actually learned some things that I probably would have never known about her. And I think it kind of brought us closer together too at that time. And then my other subject was her best friend, which was kind of interesting because she was very different. She was older, and she was this Italian lady who was very, she just talked with her hands. But I mean, it was to hear her story about how her family came to America. It was just very, very interesting. So I think this thing, I love the idea about connecting with other people and knowing your history, because not that we have to repeat the mistakes of our parents or our grandparents, but I think knowing the history really is something important to have this kind of continuum. And I mean, because I think it's kind of when we're born, that history is born into us also. And actually, we might even have some kind of physical issues that are based on old ancestral history and different kinds of things that
absolutely agree
that could be healed by then going to Reiki and being aware of these things. So
Absolutely agree. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify to your listeners that there is a third book that's not related at all. And then when I'm talking about the third book that's coming out in January, that's the third in this series.
Yeah. So the book in January of 2019, what is the name? Do you have a title yet for the book?
I do. It's Trauma to Triumph, A Spiritual Awakening.
Aha. Okay. So the, is that now, I know that it's part three now of this kind of journey, and it has your more mature and perspective that's not so triggering. And it has this complimentary thing where you go through a chapter, you said, and then you have the viewpoint. Now, are the kinds of viewpoints that, is it like, so is it different forms of psychology? Or, I mean, I think
my question is, because I was immediately I was thinking about just like you, how you have these different kinds of skills where you have like the soul alignment, or you have the hypnotherapy, and then you also have Reiki and tarot. So do the psychological viewpoints, is it more from like a psychological viewpoint from people who are working as psychologists, or do you have people who are from different modalities that are?
It's no. It's just one beautiful, beautiful lady. Roz Phillips is her name. She is a certified counselor here in Australia. She's also a clinical hypnotherapist, a psychotherapist, and she's got her degree in this and that and whatever else. Mm-hmm. And so it's just from a clinical perspective of what I've written in the chapter, she writes what's actually happening to me or to people that go through sort of similar sort of stuff. So when people are reading it, they can go, oh my goodness, I'm actually normal. I'm not, you know, this is actually... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes. I think that's actually interesting because I think this is one of the biggest problems is that people, we have shame around our traumas too. We don't necessarily talk about it. I mean, I had a life event that it didn't happen to me directly, really. It was to someone else, but it impacted me. Yeah. And like in a big way, it was a former spouse. And that event, I kind of put it behind me. I mean, I did a lot of inner work and I had healing therapies and things like that, but I never really talk about it to people. And it was something that I didn't want to talk about because I just felt like I didn't want to stay in that space. So, but you also then don't have support or...
That's the problem when you don't speak about it, but you don't tend to speak about these sort of things because there's still stigma.
Yes. Absolutely.
The word is the stigma. So I guess we could say, similar to what you were saying, that shame, you didn't want to talk about it. That's shame, and that's sort of what are people going to say about it. So I guess the counselling point of view and why we're adding it in there is just to actually show people what is happening. This is actually what is happening. And people that are reading it, they might have a friend that's going through post-traumatic stress and they can read what I've been through, then read the counsellor's perspective and go, oh my goodness, maybe I should be a better friend. Maybe I should be a little bit more kind. And it would also be really, really, really good for anyone that is learning about counselling or learning psychology or learning hypnotherapy to have this book, because it could also be a training manual.
Yeah, because it's like a case study. Here, it's like a real person who had a real event and you're sharing it. And also... And it's probably even better because you are sharing it now later on where you said in your earlier works, those were probably more even helped you to heal your earlier works.
Absolutely. Absolutely nailed it, Amy. It was very therapeutic because when the first book was written back in 2003, I was still off work. I was right in the throes of the trauma. I was still mentally very unwell and emotionally and physically unwell. And so you can sort of feel all that in the first book. Then the second book was 2009, and that was less emotional because I hadn't moved through it, but there was still a lot of stuff going on that wasn't making a lot of sense to me, and there was still a lot of healing to be done. Now this third book in the series, where I do combine and I go over everything. I start from the beginning and I go right through up until this now, basically 2018. But from a healed perspective, it really just even writing, rewriting everything and writing it from a calmer perspective, a healed perspective, it was healing in itself, even more healing. I'm throwing that word around a lot, I know, but very therapeutic.
Well, you can see how, where you were and where you are now. And I think when you, that kind of thing, it's actually kind of incredible, because sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit for what we've changed or done. I mean, even just in work things, you could start a project and you think, you know, and you're doing it. And then you don't really sometimes take the time to think, oh, I did that. Yay. You know, or, you know, look, I finished this or look, I was at point A and now I'm at point B, and maybe it was a long journey or maybe it was a shorter journey, but there you are. You have, I think looking back, I mean, it gets a little upsetting when I had a moment at one point where I was writing in a journal a lot. And about 2 years later, I found the journal, and I was still journaling at the time. And I was reading some of the things, and I said, ooh, this is bad, because I was writing the same things, the same problems, the same stuff was just, nothing changed.
And right.
I gotta do something about this, you know. So
a bit of a wake up call.
Yeah. I mean, and it was actually good that I kept them instead, because sometimes I go through and toss some of that stuff. But you know, usually it's nice when you see the point where you go from A to B and it's like an improvement.
Yes.
But if you're like at A and then you're still at A and you're like, oops, you know, it's like
something's going on, I need to make a change.
Yeah. And that's actually when I did start to do all of you know, kind of pursue going for like the shiatsu massage, and you know, got exposed to Reiki and all of that, because it was, I had tried even traditional talk therapy, and that was very good in one way, that I was able to not burden some of my friends with you know, my weekly
Definitely. Yeah. Talk therapy does have its place, without a doubt.
Yeah. But I don't think it's enough, really. I think that we have like this whole perspective, and we're energy bodies. I mean, that's something that's not really spoken about by psychologists.
No. I'm a little bit biased, because I am a clinical hypnotherapist and I am a psychotherapist. So psychotherapy is talk therapy. But you combine it with hypnotherapy, because it gets into the subconscious mind, and that's where it changes much more quickly. And then I also add in Reiki. So I will do a combination of talk therapy, hypnotherapy and Reiki all in one session, and it is so powerful. It is so fast, much more speedy than just talk therapy on its own, because it's getting in and it's changing the neuro pathways in the brain, and then the right. Reiki is helping on that other level, that energy level that you were speaking of before.
Yeah, I can see that, because I feel like, I mean, it did kind of, when I was doing the talk therapy and I was still writing the same things for 2 years and complaining about the same things. And then I realized, it kind of cracks you open though. And then, so you go into this new modality and it does work faster, but I think it almost like ruptures you in a way, because it's like you have to, at least for me, I mean, that was my own personal experience, that I felt like, I was kind of going through the motions. And then when I did that and I started doing the other stuff, everything was just kind of releasing. So it was like a flood of emotions, and it got a little uncontrollable at times. So,
that's very normal.
Yeah. And so it took that then to, you know, kind of like almost like mini breakdowns, and to keep going and having, you know, trying different ways to work it out and to kind of face what was going on, and then take my own power back to make some changes. So it's tough for people, I think, when it's very easy, at least in my opinion, I think it's very easy to get trapped into where I was in that constant 2 year period where I was kind of trapped there. There was
like Groundhog Day.
Yes, exactly.
Doing the same stuff over and over and over again. And yeah. You know, it's interesting, they say that that does happen until you get the message, until you get the learning, until you get, you know, so you sort of finally woke up and went, oh my goodness, what am I doing? It might have taken 2 years, but it's better than 20.
Yeah, true. But I mean, I think, and then we're always going to keep growing and finding, you know, I think I actually just found an article about, it was saying that our brain is kind of looking for problems a lot. So
the it's brain has a lot to answer for.
Yes, it does. So, is there something that you would like to share with people, like a tip about before? And also, I would like you to share your, you know, website and all of that other kind of information. But some kind of tip or a book or something that would help the listeners to open up their mind or to get a better, to help enhance their life.
The big thing, and I know it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but truly people, I feel, need to connect in their inner world to themselves. And so I would highly recommend meditation, hypnotherapy, something where they can go within, because if we explore within, that's where all the mystery, magical stuff actually resides, is within us. So if people can tap in and stop looking externally, the keys to our happiness, the keys to life are actually within us. I'll give you a bit of what I'm trying to say here. I'll give you a bit of a scenario, I guess. It's just imagine that you've been out at nighttime and you drive home and you unlock your door and you go in and you're starting, you've got the lights on and you're unpacking and getting ready to finish up for the evening, and suddenly the lights go out and you've dropped your keys and you can't find your keys, and so you're scrabbling around on the floor trying to find your keys. Mm-hmm. Can't find the keys, but you notice outside the actual street lights are actually on. So you have this bright idea that you're going to go outside and stand under the street lights. So off you go and you start looking for your keys under the street light. Now, that makes no sense at all, does it? Right. But this is what people do. The keys are always within us, even when it's dark. Mm-hmm. The keys are actually inside. They're not outside under the street light just because someone has said it's bright light over here and I can promise you the world.
Right.
Light. So the keys are actually not always outside of us. The keys are in us. So that's why I say people, if they can start meditating and learn to tap in to their own magic is already inside of them. They have the keys inside of them to absolutely anything that they want. The light is in there, even when it's dark.
Yeah, I think people avoid the darkness a lot too. They want to push it down. They want to push it away because it's a little scary to them.
Absolutely. And that's why they go searching outside under the street light, which makes no sense because they're never going to find the keys under the street light.
Right.
But they search outside of themselves. So meditation, hypnotherapy, anything that can make you go within, I think is a really, really good start. And there's so many good books out there that can help, but I'm just having a mental block on to mentioning any one in particular. But Start their journey by reading anything that resonates with them and go from there.
Yeah. Wow. So that's beautiful. I really love that. I forget what you call it. Not an analogy.
A metaphor, maybe. Is it a metaphor? Yes. Yeah. That's the word.
Yes, metaphor. I was just searching. So thank you, Tammy, for joining me today. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope that people will find your book. And and would you please share your website with everyone?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And I will also put it in the show notes as well.
So. Okay, wonderful. So they can find me on www.tammystarotandhealing.com, and it's TAMMYS. I always spell out my name because there's a few ways you can spell Tammy. Uh-huh. So Tammy's, tammystarotandhealing.com, and Facebook is Tammy's Tarot and Healing as well.
Well, thank you again. And
thank you.
I really appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining me today and listening to episode 5 of Conscious Life Spaces Conversations. Today, I really enjoyed the conversation with Tammy Hatherhill, and I hope that we can all benefit from her experience. If you want to learn more, check out the show notes at consciouslife.guru, our Conscious Life Space website. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast feed and our YouTube channel. You can also find us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. Until next time, take care.